Praise God. One of the secrets in Christian life is to learn how to allow Christ within us to do all that is needed to do in this life. But there are principles in which we have to apply to draw upon that. And we have covered several of them. And so today is the last of the series on the cross of Jesus Christ and letting the cross rule in our life. So let's look at the book of Isaiah chapter 40 as we see some principles and that will apply both in the Old Testament that is brought forth and apply in the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. Isaiah 40 verse 31. It says here in the New King James, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, when you look at this passage on waiting on God, and we realize how important waiting upon God is. In fact, the Bible tells us that God seems to seek after those who wait upon Him. I'd like to cross-reference also to Isaiah chapter 64. Verse 4, it says there, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for Him." Who acts for the one who waits upon Him. And this particular verse is quoted again in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But Paul changes the application of it, although it means the same thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Now notice the word "wait" in Isaiah 64 verse 4 have been now replaced by the word "love" in 1 Corinthians 2, although he's quoting the same passage. And that tells us that when they were reading the Hebrew, which is the original language, or the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, which possibly Paul uses too, because Paul was one of the Greek scholars, and he probably also read his Old Testament in the Greek of those days. And he understood that Isaiah 64 verse 4 refers not just to the word waiting on God, but to loving God in that quietness and stillness of spending time with Him. Which is why in the New Testament, when he re-quotes the verse, he replaced the word "wait" with the word "love." As if the two are equal. That to wait on God is to love God. And to love God is to wait on God. So he puts the two words as if they are interchangeable. And that gives a broader, wider, deeper meaning to the word "wait" upon God. And so let's go back with that context to Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, and it tells us the four seasons of the Christian life. Now by four seasons I do not mean that you pass through them only once, but the four seasons are like a cycle that we go through each one of our Christian life. Sometimes Christians have asked me, and they said, "Pastor, sometimes I feel more like praying than I do like reading the Word. At other times I feel more like reading the Word than praying. At other times I feel like going forth and doing something for God. And at other times it's just worshipping. So how do I balance those things?" And most of the time we need a complete diet in the spiritual realm. Just like in the natural, you need a balanced diet in order to continue to have a healthy physical body in this life. In the same way, spiritually, we need a complete diet. You will find that If you spend too much time just praying and you don't have enough time on the Word, and you kept that on for months and months and months, after some time, the quality of your prayer seemed to be diminished. Because faith can only come by hearing God's Word. And so your faith becomes more weaker because it's not being fed the Word. And the things of this life may shake you more than it does shake you if you had the Word full in your life. And so the quality of your prayer becomes affected. So even though your quantity of prayer is still maintained, if the quality deteriorates, then it's going to affect you. On the other hand, if you spend a lot of time just reading the Word and reading the Word, and you don't have much time in the realm of prayer, praying in the Spirit, praying with understanding, just travailing before God and laboring in prayer and all the different dimensions of prayer, and you miss all those things and you begin to spend more and more time in the Word, but you neglect prayer, after some time, you will find that you begin to feel dry. And you could read the 10 chapters of the Bible, and it doesn't seem to speak as much to you as if when you were praying a lot and you came out of God's presence, you just turned to the first few verses and it struck your heart like a fire from God. And the revelation that flows forth doesn't seem to come forth. So you begin to feel dry after some time because you lack experience. You need to experience God in prayer too for the Word to be kept alive. So there's a balance in those areas. And so there's also a balance in working out our salvation and going forth to meet people, pray for people, and minister to them, or be a witness in Christ. Because when we begin to neglect that, then we begin to form philosophical views that are not balanced or practical. And it's just like sitting in a cave all alone and not being touched by the reality of what goes on. And we can be so self-absorbed in our own philosophy, feelings, that we lose touch with reality or what is really happening out there and in the real world. And you find that Jesus doesn't do that. He's balanced. In fact, they call Jesus a winebibber and someone who mixes with sinners because he knows what it is. There's nothing that can move your heart more to prayer or to go deeper into prayer. When you begin to work out your salvation, when you begin to pray for the sick, when you begin to minister to people and you realize how helpless you are without God, and when you begin to confront sicknesses and disease that ravage humankind, and you realize you need the power of God to bring relief to them, it drives you further into God to get the power to help them. So there's a balance in getting deeper in God as well as reaching out to people. Vertical relationship and a horizontal relationship. In the realm of praise and worship and in the realm of applications. So we realize that there's a balance in Christian life and you need to flow with it. Now, occasionally you may have more of one of those things than the other, but generally you got to get back to a balance of all those different areas of the Christian life. When we look at Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 31, he speaks about waiting on God. And he gives a picture of a cycle that revolves around four different postures. He says that those who wait upon the Lord, firstly, they will renew their wings as eagles. They will renew their strength like eagles. And he also tells us that they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now that is the first posture, mount up with wings like eagles. It will be flying and soaring like an eagle above the earth. And notice that it moves into the second posture, which is, they shall run. They shall run, it tells us there. And in verse 31, they shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. So it's a position of running. And then he goes slower still to walking. They shall walk and not faint. Have you realized that one is flying, running, walking, and then it will go back to the first cycle, waiting again. So there's a cycle of waiting, which moves into mounting wings like eagle, flying, running, and then walking. This is the whole cycle that keeps going on. And in every area of our lives, we need to flow with the cycles. And they don't just occur once in your lifetime. They are like the seasons of the year. And the seasons of your Christian life, you will go through times when there may be more times you need to wait on God. There will be other times you're soaring like the eagle. Now, there are some things you can do when you're running that you can't do when you are walking, obviously. There's some things you can do when you're flying like an eagle above that you can't do when you are waiting upon God. Obviously, different things and different posture for different applications. How does that apply in our Christian life? First of all, I need to bring forth to you that in the Hebrew, the Hebrew word for the word wait is the word kavah here. And it's Q-A-V-A-H, kavah. And that word has a very deep meaning of having more than just waiting on God. And as you know, waiting relates to the word love. But in the Hebrew, there are 12 different words for the word wait. We're not going to cover all 12. But just to let you know, there are 12 different Hebrew words for wait. One of the main ones is the word kavah. And just for the sake of covering it, I'll just read to you all those 12 different words and tell you what they mean. You can find them in the Hebrew Old Testament. There's a Hebrew word for wait which comes from the word dumiyah, which is spelled D-U-M-I-Y-A-H, dumiyah, which means silence. Silence before God. To me, that speaks about contemplation, where there's time of stillness and you're just allowing God to speak. A word closely related in meaning to that is the other word for wait, which is the word dawamb. D-A-W-A-M, dawamb, which means to be silent, to cease, or to stand still. To stand still before God. Sometimes God tells you to do that. He told Moses at the time when the Israelites were faced by the Egyptians coming at them, the Red Sea in front of them, the mountains around them, and he says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And to allow God to work. So the word dawam speaks about a stillness that comes from stopping all your activities, which is slightly different from dumiyah, the first one. And then there's the third Hebrew word, chakah.